Hello and welcome to the Cozy Club, a warm hug in podcast form for all the soft hearts out there. Grab a warm drink and join us for wholesome books, games, stories, and more. I'm Monica.
And I'm Reagan.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about our favorites from the past year, from our favorite moments and memories to media.
But before we dive into the specifics, a quick reminder to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already via your favorite podcast app of choice and leave a review if you're so inclined. Also wanted to have a quick note on our book club. Our book selection is the Thursday Murder Club, which should be a really cozy good time following a murder mystery inside of a retirement home. The discussion episode will be going up in early Feb, but if you'd like to send your review or thoughts, email us at cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com by January 20th so we can include them. But yes, I'm so excited to be chatting favorites of the year with you today, Monica. I feel like this is always one of my favorite times of year because I get so many new recommendations. And I don't know about you, but I'm a big list maker. I thrive making lists on like any type of topic, any type of thing, and then getting that satisfaction of crossing them out. So this time of year, I always feel like I'm making the most incredible lists for myself just based on everyone else's favorites.
I agree. And it's also just like nice to like take a little bit of time and like really think about everything that happened over a year because like, I don't know, it's so easy to kind of, I mean, I felt this even while making like my picks for this episode, like just feeling the sense of like, oh wow, that happened this year, like that was this year.
I know, just honestly this year feels like a fever dream, like somehow everything feels like it happened so quickly, but also when I think about the early parts of this year, it feels like a century ago.
Agreed.
And yet here we are.
Do we want to kick things off with some of our favorite memories from the year?
Yes, I would love that. One of my favorite memories very much includes you, Monica. So I would definitely say, and perhaps you would agree, that one of my favorite memories was actually traveling to Paris with you. It was so, or I should say France, because we went to Paris and then another area of France as well. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It was, when I put that, when I was like thinking about that, I was like, wait, that was this year? Because that was, you know, early spring. And it's just, yeah, it's crazy to think that that was this year because that feels so long ago. But also it was so fun and definitely was just like so exciting to like get out of the country again for the first time in so long.
Yes, for sure. And especially for Monica and I would say like we obviously have a lot of crossover in our personality, but one of our favorite things we do like to do with each other, either big or small, is travel. And before I guess we dive into the memories of Paris, because I'm really curious to hear like maybe what your most memorable moments from that trip were. We do have other trips. So in the spring of next year, we are traveling to Korea together in one of our group BFF trips. And just if anyone was curious, we are actually hosting a group BFF trip for later in the fall of 2023 to Vietnam. So if y'all are wanting to learn more about that and sign up, if you're wanting to travel with us, there are still some spots available there.
Yeah, and the early spots are cheaper and they're running out. So if you want to come with us, you should check that out. And I'm so excited. The trip just sounds so cool. And it's like enabling to do things that like I just don't think I would ever be able to do like on my own as a traveler. So I'm excited. I think it'll be really cool. And I'm so excited for Korea too. Like,
I'm so excited for Korea. Both trips are. It's all about like culture and food, and it's great because you have a local guide to take you around these cities. So it's amazing. So if you have, obviously, you know, there might be language barriers and things like that. So being able to have someone who not only knows all the best spots, but can help with things like communication and transportation is an absolute game changer, especially when traveling to a new place. So we're so excited to experience both of those places. And again, if y'all are wanting to travel along with us, we still have spots left for the Vietnam trip. But let's talk about Paris. I can't help but think of the 1975 song when I, when I mention Paris. So for me, I feel like I have a favorite memory in the city itself. But then we also traveled to a region of, I guess, the south of France to do castle tours and kind of enjoy the French countryside, the Loire Valley, if you will. Because Monica and I had been to Paris before, I think we really were kind of focused on doing like our favorite things and also just kind of having like a really girly, just like fun time. And I think one of my favorite moments, just because of how absurd it was, when we got tea at the plaza. So it was this really bougie tea, and we were so excited because we just like cute things. But the irony was, at the time, like, I didn't even like tea, and you like medically couldn't drink tea. So we were like at caffeinated this, there's other things that they serve you. Yeah, caffeinated tea, important stipulation. And so we were at this really fancy tea, but we're really just there for like all the fancy desserts that they serve you like alongside said tea and the really fancy bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
The bathroom was next level.
So pretty. Mine is also food related. I used to live in Paris for a short period of time back in like 2016. And I just remember that there was this restaurant that looked like the coziest, cutest restaurant in the world. And it was right next door to Shakespeare and Company. And when I saw it, it was like snowing because I was there during winter. So it was snowing and it was really cold. And they have this like massive fireplace in the front room. And so I go in and I'm like, oh, do you have any like spots available? And they were completely booked up for like the week. And I was flying home for Christmas. It was like, I was flying home on the 23rd. So I was not going to be able to go to this restaurant. And I felt like the little match girl, basically, like out in the cold, looking at all the people like around the fireplace. And so when Reagan and I were going back, I mentioned it to her, and she had actually eaten there before and really loved it, which made me really excited to want to go. And so we finally got to go, or I finally got to go live that dream, and the food totally lived up to it. It's called the Le so Petit good. Châtelet. And yeah, the food was some of the best that I think I had that trip. And the people there, the people who worked there were also just like so cool and so kind. Nice. Yeah. So that was definitely just like, it was cool to kind of check that off of a, like, not really bucket list, but, you know, thing that I wanted to do and couldn't do back then, but like could do now. So that was really fun.
We were also freshly landed. Like, we literally landed in Paris that morning. We went there, and I personally was super excited because, I mean, there's very little I love more in this world than baguettes. I always joke that, like, baguettes are, like, my emotional support food. I will eat an entire baguette for, like, lunch. I just love bread. It's just a thing. So, obviously, when you're in the land of, you know, baguettes, it's a big deal. So I was just so excited. They put all this bread in front of me. European butter is, like, on a whole nother planet. I was thriving in that I can't speak French. See, Monica does like the pronunciation well, and then I'm just like, hey y'all, Le Petit Chalet.
I'm sure if any French person was hearing my pronunciation, they would not agree with that. But thank you.
My other favorite memories of the trip. So we stayed in Paris, but then again, we went to the Loire Valley, which, if you're not familiar, the Loire Valley is known for having lots and lots of castles. And context for me is I am kind of like an old person, bus tour loving person at my heart. I majored in history. I just love old things, and I love learning about things, and I love visiting places where people can like share the context and kind of have conversations with people who also love those things. So I just think it's really fun. So I spearheaded finding this bus tour, right, for the Loire Valley. Meanwhile, the day before, so the weather when we went was like not great. The day before this bus tour, we get a call, and it's canceled because we're the only two people who signed up for the bus tour.
Devastating.
Devastating. And so we actually reached out to our hotel because we were staying at this really small hotel, which I'll probably let Monica talk about because that was a wonderful moment. And she helped us like find like this local guide. And it was just this man who ended up driving us in this like small van around the Loire Valley, and like very French clothes, like he was very stylish. He was wearing like dress shoes, and it was pouring down rain, and he had this amazing umbrella, and he was just taking us to these places, helping us get tickets, like explaining things to us. We were getting very car sick because it was very fast and very windy, but it was just such a fun and cool experience. Like, it was so immersive in the way that I felt we learned a lot. We got to see a lot of cool things. And obviously, you know, having like a local guide, and it was also inadvertently like a private tour because we were still the only people on this bus tour. Because apparently, I don't know what, people need to be going on more bus tours of the Loire Valley because it was a delightful time. But that was probably my favorite part. I just love seeing stuff and then people like explaining it to me, and I get to ask like questions. Like I learned about the windows. So I'll keep it quick. I'll keep it brief. But he explained to us that a sign of wealth for when people were building these castles was you could see it in the window. So you used to get taxed per pane of glass in a window. So instead of having one large sheet of glass, people would break up large windows into many panes because it showed that they could afford the multiplier on the window for the tax as it relates to like glass and windows during the time period. So that's just like an interesting fact. So anytime, you know, we saw a castle on this tour, you could like note the windows and, you know, have that context in mind. But that's just an example. I love a bus tour. I love a fact. I was having a blast.
I love like facts in history or like little like things in history that like remind you about like how similar we all are. Like no matter how many like centuries or decades pass, you know, like my favorite thing about that is that like that's so similar to like flex culture today and like people like posting Instagram photos of like their stacks of like Cartier bracelets and things, and it's like oh yeah, like we people still do that. I love when you're walking through like an old building or something and you see like graffiti from like the 1800s from like people who are on their like grand tours, and it's literally like the 1700 1800 version of like John was here. It like there's it's that TikTok trend that's like, oh, there it is, that funny feeling. That's like what that fills you with. It's like, oh my gosh, like, oh, we might be separated 100%. By centuries, but we are the same.
We're all the same.
Yeah,
we're the same. 100%.
So that also was probably my favorite part of the whole trip is the Loire Valley, for kind of a different reason. I feel like Reagan's is so cultured. So one of my favorite films of all time is Ever After. And it was like a childhood.
I've never seen this.
Yeah. So I made her watch it when we got back to the hotel. But the whole film takes place in the Loire Valley. And it's obviously it takes a lot of liberties, but it is set during the time period when Leonardo da Vinci was staying there. And so to like actually be at the castle that Leonardo was staying in and like walk around like all these places that like they would have been in, I was like, oh my gosh, I am in Ever After right now. So I feel like I got to live that dream. And then we watched Ever After and it was like such a perfect ending. And yeah, I will also say that our hotel was for sure one of my favorite parts of that trip. It was just so like wholesome. It was a little like almost bed and breakfast kind of vibe. It was like just, you know, this really beautiful like manor house, and she like rented out various rooms in it, and it was just so cozy. It made me never want to have an Airbnb again because I'm like, why would I do an Airbnb?
It was delightful. I also feel like the owner of that hotel was like she was living the dream. She was running this beautiful small hotel with like, and she lived in the carriage house in the back, which just looked stunning. And I just her life, I was like, wow. Goals.
My other favorite part of that trip, though, was we also took a little trip outside of the city of Paris to Giverny. To the Monet Gardens, which love Monet, love all Impressionists, but especially Monet. And it was so cool to go and actually like be in his house, be in his space, and like, see the gardens and like. You literally felt like you were in a Monet painting. Like, I was like, this is what
it was stunning.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. It also kind of made me giggle because I get so annoyed. There's like this whole trend on TikTok, like in design TikTok, where like if you paint a piece of wood furniture, it doesn't matter what it is, people will lose their absolute mind. And like, I get it. Like, it's if you love antiques or whatever, it's probably hard to see someone like quote unquote ruin it. But in that man's house, literally every single piece of furniture was painted like to match the vibe of the room. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I know that people say it's trendy, but like this can be really classic if it is true to your personal style. And it was honestly quite affirming to see that, because I was like, you know, okay, anytime someone makes fun of me, I'm just going to be like, go look at Monet's house, because it's all painted furniture and it's stunning.
It's so colorful. He's the original trendsetter.
Truly.
It was just delightful and bright and charming. It felt like such a cozy home. And the gardens were full of tulips because we came in the springtime. So it was just so beautiful. It's a really quick like little stop. I think we only were really there for like an hour and a half. And it's about an hour outside the city.
I also loved that it was basically Reagan and I think were the only people under the age of 50.
There. Monica, we have to talk about the orange juice incident before we
my shame.
Before we went into, oh my god. Okay, so context. It's so early in the morning. We catch this train from Paris to this place, and we have a time ticket for entry at like 9:30 or 10 by the time we got there. So we have some time we need to kill. So we stop by this cafe, and it's just us and like two other women in there. It's early, early. I order a croissant because, again, I'm eating all the bread I possibly can. And Monica orders an orange juice and then like steps away to go to the bathroom. And the man sets the orange juice down and he opens it for her because it comes in like a screw top. Monica comes back. It's so early. And she's not thinking. It's a completely understandable mistake. But she grabs the orange juice and just vigorously starts shaking. Orange juice is now everywhere. It's everywhere. It's all over Monica. It's all over this restaurant cafe. It's... oh, and it was so funny. But also, it was also like, oh no, we're just looking like the two most annoying Americans of all time.
He was making so...
But they were so kind.
It was so nice.
Everyone was so kind. Everyone was so nice. And the women were so nice. They were traveling. I think they lived in California, but they were European. Anyway, everyone was so nice about it. But it was just such a... it was such chaotic. A nice little morning surprise. It was so funny.
I feel like that entire morning was like pure chaos. Well, first of all, we get to Journey.
It was pure chaos.
We get off the train and we're like, how do we get there? And there's this like little the carriage. There's this little like carriage being pulled by a truck and there's like a bunch of carts attached to it. And we're like, oh, we'll take this. Like this looks, you know, it's a little tour. It takes us there.
Can we call it a carriage? It's literally like, it feels kind of like a golf cart. Got a bunch of golf carts kind of like tied together almost. Yes. Like it's like a little, you don't have like doors or anything.
It's like the Parisian version of a haunted hayride is what, imagine
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes. That's what it is. That is so what it is.
We get on this and it starts up and then it starts playing in the most conspicuous way possible through this quiet morning town. The ants go marching one by one, just blasting it. I'm like, and I cannot, like, we're just, the two of us are just dying laughing because it's just, it's like, there's no doors. So anyone around is just going to hear this. And I'm like, do these people have to hear this multiple times every day?
But it also starts taking us on a tour of the town.
So it's giving us a tour of the town. And my favorite part, and I think this was actually when we were coming back, my favorite part is
incredible.
It stops at this post office and it's like a pre-filmed tour. Is like, and this is the first post office. And Reagan and I just look at each other and are like, ever? It was not the first post office ever.
It wasn't even the first post office. Oh, okay. So we were like, ever? And then we're like, probably not ever, but maybe in Europe. And then we're like, so we start looking it up. Okay, not in Europe. Okay, well, maybe in France. Okay, look it up. Okay, not in France. It's just the first post office in the town. Which, fair. You know, am I to judge what they include on a tour? But it was just such a funny, like, de-escalation. I'm like, oh my god, the first post office of all time? Oh, okay, the first post office in all of Europe? France? Oh no, just in Giverny.
Giverny.
Yeah.
Well, outside of memories, do you have a favorite book from 2023? 2022. Oh my god.
2022. It's so okay, I'll say it's really hard to narrow down. I feel like for me, I'll say two because I can't just say one. So first off, I finished reading the First Law trilogy by Joe Abercrombie this year, and I just really loved it. And it's exciting to kind of stumble upon a new to me fantasy author, because I love this feeling of like, wow, I loved this first set of books and there's all these other books to read. So that's like a really exciting kind of future opportunity. So that was a really great experience. They're just very grimdark, full of gray morality characters, very unpredictable, funny, and just great fantasy. But I also feel like this year I read even more lit fic than I have in years past. And that was an experience I really enjoyed too. I just found it a way to really consume, you know, different types of stories, encounter just beautiful writing, really thought-provoking moments throughout the year. I think my two favorite literary fictions, one I got from recommendation from you, is If I Had Your Face, which is this really incredible slice of life, multi-POV book following a group of young girls kind of living with and around each other in South Korea. Okay. Dives into topics like, you know, sexism and identity and image and plastic surgery. And it's just a really, like, you fall into the book and then you come out of the book. You're really just there for like a moment in their life. And it was just such a fantastic book in that way. The other book I read too, something called The Great Circle, which I love multi-POV or like parallel timelines. And this book basically follows a woman whose dream is to become a pilot, and you see her path to become a great pilot. And then you fast forward in the future, a woman who is playing that pilot in a movie. And like, you see the actor's like obsession as she tries to learn more about Mirian, tries to learn more about this pilot. And we're following their dual timelines in life, and you kind of see how some elements of their experiences kind of persist through time, and then also how things have really changed. It's like a gut punch of a book. Like, I went in thinking it was gonna be like really lyrical and beautiful, but it was really one that kind of just like beat me up along the way. But it was so good. It was very emotional. I would say like those would be like the ones that immediately come to mind when asked this question.
I love that. I'm so happy If I Had Your Face on your list. It's so good. And
it's so good.
I love Frances Chaw so much. I feel like she is so cool. I also love that, like, when she wrote the, like, Kate, so this whole plot line with one of the characters who's like a massive K-pop stan. And I think it's so fun because I got to interview her for Create-a-thon. And she talked about how, like, that was basically based off of like her own experiences as like a K-pop fan. And oh, I just feel like that experience of being like such an intense fan is such an interesting one. And I actually just got a new book that's sort of exploring that same topic in a literary fiction way. And I'm so excited for it because I just feel like it's such an interesting dynamic, like the dynamic of being a fan. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it's explored in like more contemporary fiction or like in a fun way. And I love the idea of it being explored in a very like nuanced human way too.
Yeah. Because I mean, I think we can all think about, I mean, I'm a fan, maybe too much of a fan on certain things. And it's like such an interesting dynamic from a relationship and social point of view to think about.
So as far as favorite books go, this was something that I was trying to figure out earlier because obviously like end of year content, you want to make like, here's my favorite books of the whole year. I actually don't know if I can make that video this year because while there are books that I loved, but I feel like every year there's always like one or two books that I'm like, oh yeah, this is now a new personality trait for me. And I don't have that this year. Like, I'm kind of bummed about it. I will say that like the one book that I would say like maybe sort of qualifies in that is like Spy Family, which is a manga series and anime. And I haven't watched the anime yet, but the manga is so good, so fun. And I feel like that's the one thing where I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm fully invested, like deep into this story and I love it so much. And it's like checking all of those boxes. So one of our main characters is Lloyd, and he is a international spy, and he is basically tasked with putting together a fake family so that he can infiltrate this really prestigious boarding school, and where this like leader's son attends, so he can get close to this leader and like try to avoid this like massive war that's on the brink of happening. Mm-hmm. And so he puts together this family, but what he doesn't know is that the daughter that he picks from an orphanage is can read minds. So she knows everything that's going on. She's also like a toddler. Oh. And just like wants a family and wants to be loved. And then the mm-hmm. wife is an assassin. And so it's just this really funny where like each of them are hiding this like massive secret from each other, but also like watching them like mm-hmm. come together over the course of the manga. It's just so cute and fun. And I love the vibes of it. So I would say like that is the one, like that probably be my one like absolute favorite of the whole year. And like I don't want it to sound mm-hmm. like I didn't love anything this year, because like there are lots of books that I'm like, oh yeah, I really enjoyed that. Like I read Lud in the Mist. I really enjoyed that. Winter in Sukcho, which is a Korean novel or a French Korean novel. I loved mm-hmm. that one. I finally read the Assassin's Apprentice that you've always been recommending, and I really enjoyed that. Yes. But yeah, I just feel like this year, sort of like unlike other years, I just like don't feel that like same, like I found a book that is
intensity.
Like my new passion, you know? Mm-hmm, I feel like mm-hmm. I found that feeling with like other media. So mm-hmm. maybe we'll talk about that later. But yeah, and I'm kind of sad about that.
I get that. That makes sense. In terms of Spy X Family, I've been looking for a new manga series to start. Maybe I'll read that. I've been on my radar for so long, especially the mm-hmm. anime. And I love the concept. I didn't realize, I knew about it generally, but with those details you provided, it just sounds really, really kind of fun.
It's and so fun. I love the found
family component too. Mm-hmm. Outside of books, should we move into movies? So movies for me is the one I feel like I don't have like a strong opinions on. Mm-hmm. I have this thing with like my attention span where I can watch TV for days. Like I have so many top favorite TV shows of the year, because in my head it's like, 3 hours of TV feels very different than like a 3 hour long movie mm-hmm. because I can stop them. I can stop watching a TV show at any point in time versus a movie feels like such a large commitment.
Yeah.
Though I will say something I discovered at the end of this year is I rewatched the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and I treated it like a TV show where I just paused wherever and then picked it up like the next day. So mm-hmm. I think I'm going to try that next year, kind of treat movies like miniseries or like find natural stop pausing points. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like I might watch more movies next year. But I honestly don't think I watched very many movies this year, especially ones that like really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. At all, which makes me sad because normally I love going to the movies. I think with COVID, I've just been slowly getting back into the habit of going to the movie theater. So it's I'm still working on it, you know?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Did you have any favorites this year though?
I did see recently The Banshees of Inisherin, which was very excellent. It's a very strange movie. Like it's almost kind of impossible to describe in some way. Okay. So it's set in like a rural town in Ireland. It's very like metaphorical. It's one of those movies you kind of walk away from and you're like, what did I just watch? I need to like think about it. And the more I've thought about it, the more I really appreciate it. But it's like, it's a dark comedy. It's set, I want to say like right before World War II. And oh my God, my dog is snoring so loud.
I heard that. It's so funny.
Millie.
He's sleepy.
Millie buggy. You can't snore that loud. Oh. But yeah, it's set in this like small Irish town on an island. I think it's in between World War I and World War II. Mm-hmm. And it basically just follows these two guys. And they're like best friends. Within one day, one of the friends is like, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. It gives like no explanation, no reasoning. And it slowly shows this like escalation of their relationship. It's dark, but funny. And very strange. I think it's definitely supposed to be representative of like how sometimes there can be moments like where conflict sometimes can seem to arrive with no clear reason or understanding. But then you also reach a point of conflict where even if you've been trying to resolve it, maybe one person goes too far. And then from there, like you can't really go back.
Got it.
It's a really interesting movie. It's has endearing moments. There's like this cute goat and the sister relationship. I don't know. It was by far one of the more unique and thought-provoking movies I feel like I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I feel like that one I keep seeing the title of, but I had no idea what it was really mm-hmm. about. But that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I definitely think it's one you just kind of should go in and experience and then try to understand what's going on.
Yeah. I think for me, I feel very similarly with films. I like it's hard for me to like sit down and watch a film, especially like once it's already been out for a while, because I feel like I'm someone who I kind of have to see it early on, because once something has a lot of hype around it, or once like people start setting like your expectations for how you should emotionally feel watching something, like it's really hard for me to like then watch it like clearly. So for example, like one film that I do need to watch, and I feel like I'm finally ready to watch it, that I think probably would have been on this list had I seen it, is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, I saw that. That was amazing. That should be on my list. That was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Well, there you go.
I forgot that that came out this year.
Did it? It did, right?
It
I think it
did. I
did.
just forgot because it was like early. That's a great movie. Okay, I won't say anything else, but I underline and agree that is a fantastic film.
Well, that's one that like I feel like as soon as it came out, people like, and not like in a bad way, but people just talked about like, how it made them feel and all of that. And so because of that, I was like, I can't watch it. Like I
That's
need to like give
understandable.
myself space from it, and then I can like when I'm ready, I'll watch it. So I didn't catch that one early enough. But hopefully it'll be on my 2023 list. We'll see. My actual favorite movie is maybe a little bit of a controversial pick, because it's Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, right.
Which like I here's the thing. I think that one I am really happy that I saw it. I saw it opening night. And I'm happy that I saw opening night, but I'm also like kind of annoyed that I saw opening night because people were so annoying. And I think that's one of the things about that film is I just feel like there is the meme of it all and the expectation around it all, that really I think hindered its performance, or like especially with critics. And here's the thing, I don't think, and this I think goes back to what I was saying earlier about books, where like sometimes a book won't be like 5 stars, but I'll just love it and it'll be like something that I want to like watch over and over again. And like for some reason, Don't Worry, Darling was that. I think a big part of that is I just like love Florence Pugh so much. And so like just watching her act, and like this is like so in her like wheelhouse, like the sort of like psychological thriller vibe. Like she just does it so well, like unlike anybody. And so I really loved that element of it. And overall, I just like, do I think it should win Oscars? No. But it was just like really fun.
I definitely feel like that was one of those movies that had so much pre-release drama. And
And
like,
that.
you either love Harry Styles or maybe you don't want to love it because you don't like Harry Styles in that way. Like, I feel like it had a lot of,
I have a lot of feelings
there's going to
about
be a lot of
that.
inherent bias, going into it. From there, then, should we move on to TV shows? This is where I feel like I have much more strong opinions personally.
Well, I've only really watched, how many shows have I think I've watched 2 shows this year, and I've only really
That
loved
is
one of them.
bananas. Oh my
I'm just
gosh, I
really,
have so many. I could make a top 10 list, but I narrowed it down.
I wish I could say the same. So what's your favorite?
See, okay, when I think about favorites, I am someone, I like to categorize things by like what they're trying to achieve personally. So it's like I have lots of different favorites based off of like the mood or the genre that I'm looking for. So it's hard for me to be like, this is the best thing I watched. Because I feel like I've watched a lot of incredible things that were trying to achieve different things, and they can't be compared against each other, if that makes sense, because they're
No,
running
that makes
different
sense.
races. But I can say I have 2 shows I want to talk about. The first is Severance, which was such a visual experience, a plot experience, conceptually, just like everything landed for me. Are you familiar with the show?
I am. I really do want to watch this one.
I really want to be very vague, but just the concept is it's very corporate dystopian-esque, very 60s aesthetic. You're basically following a guy who works for this corporation, and his work-life balance, let's just say, is perfectly split. So he doesn't remember his self as he's at work, and then when he leaves work, he doesn't remember any. Does that make sense? Like, he's living two completely different existences, one at work and one at home. And it's sort of exploring that. And there's like this larger, obvious, overhanging mystery. And the season was just riveting. It was gripping. I felt like one of the first shows in a while that I felt compulsively could not stop watching. I was so excited for the new release of the episode. Since that aired, there's been some other shows that I felt similar to, but up at that point, I felt like I was really in a dry spell of like, I have not had something where I could not stop watching in American Western television, I should specify, because K-dramas I'm always addicted to. But this show just like really knocked it out of the park for me. And I really loved it. Like just the acting, the visuals, the storyline, like it was all 10 out of 10 for me. And I feel like Apple TV is such an underrated streaming platform. Mm-hmm. I have loved so many shows that have come out on there. This Slow Horses is amazing. Obviously, everyone knows Ted Lasso. Like, I feel like they're really producing high quality and very interesting television shows that I've just really enjoyed across the board.
Yeah, no, and that's then very true. Apple TV is like next level. They only do quality.
I agree. It's definitely a much more curated approach in terms of like what they're making. And I really have been enjoying their platform. And in complete contrast to Severance, my other favorite show I think of the year is Our Beloved Summer, which is a K-drama that was just life-altering. It was so beautiful. Did you watch Our Beloved Summer?
So I've watched the first two episodes, I think, 5 times now because I keep making other people watch it with me. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. Watch this series with me.
You never carried on. It's so good. So if you're not familiar, Our Beloved Summer is this, like, second chance romance. And the concept is these two people were involved in a documentary in their final year of high school. It was basically following, like, the best and worst student of the school. And then they ended up dating, and then they broke up. 10 years later, the documentarians are kind of wanting to revisit, like, where are they now? And they find themselves sort of back in each other's life. And we see them have to kind of broach topics from their past. And it's just so beautiful and romantic. And the pacing is so incredible. It's shot stunningly. Like, it feels so much like an indie slice of life movie, but extended over like a full 16 episodes. And I also just love it so much about communication and like rediscovering people and like trusting again. There aren't K-dramas are incredible, but sometimes can be known for throwing in a lot of plot twists that are maybe disconnected from like the main conflict of the characters' emotions, let's call it. And I feel like this show really was wanting to just put a spotlight on like these two people slowly coming back into each other's life. And it was just endearing and funny. I was crying all the time, all the time, all the time. The music was beautiful. The acting, just everything about, I'm like obsessed with the two main actors. They're so talented and they've been in so many incredible pieces of media. So to see them together in such a soft show, just, it made my life. It was amazing. You've got to watch past episode 2, Monica. I will rewatch the entire thing with you if necessary, like we did with True Beauty.
I know. I need to. My thing is, like, I'm notorious for, like, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I love this show. And I've watched 2 or 3 episodes. I'm like, okay, I'm done now. It's a problem. I recognize that.
You're killing me. No, you've got, it's so good. It's, like, incredible.
You and my mom both have like a Korean drama that you're like upset with me because I haven't finished. It's this one with you, and then it's the that whale one with my mom, the one where the girl's an attorney.
Oh, Attorney Woo.
Yeah,
Attorney Woo. That's a great show too. That one's really endearing.
That I loved that one, but again, I haven't finished it. And the issue with that one is it makes me so angry because Kimbap is my favorite, and there's so much Kimbap in it. And then I was home and I was like, Mom, will you make me kimbap? She's like, I don't have the ingredients. I'm like, Mom, why are you making me watch this show?
How dare you? Dare you make me watch a show?
How dare?
What about you? Do you have any favorite shows?
So I just remembered that I watched Dairy Girls for the first time this year.
I love Dairy Girls.
It's so good. So I think that would be one of my favorites. It's just so like fun. And I'm so excited that we're, I think, finally getting the last season in the U.S. because I haven't watched it yet. So I watched that one and I really enjoyed it.
I love shows that are kind of like dark comedies. Like Dairy Girls is so endearing because it's set in a very dark time period. But people still have to live their life. And that is kind of like what this is. Like these girls are still being teenage girls, even in the midst of the troubles, which obviously is like a really traumatic time in history. And so I think that contrast of the show just makes for such an endearing story.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I really enjoyed that one. And then the other show, I would say I just watched it, and I watched the entirety of both seasons in 2 days. I
Like
don't
2 days.
know how I did it. I was just
Yeah, you voice
glued,
memoed me a
absolutely
lot.
gripped. And that is White Lotus, which I feel like I don't really have to say much about. I feel like it's just been everywhere. And basically, I was just like, I was feeling left out because everyone was talking about it. And I was like, I must know what this is about. And I thought it was going to be I guess it is a bit of a mystery. But it's definitely more of a drama. And I love the first season is like this whole discussion around wealth and power and just sort of like the complete inability for wealthy people to care or empathize with people who are not wealthy. And I was like, I just thought it was like such a good satire and criticism of that. And then season two was really interesting because it was really about, I feel like a lot about men and men and their struggle for power and sex and toxic masculinity. And I thought that theme was like even more interesting, especially, and I don't want to speak too much to the actual plots because I think it's really fun to just sort of let them unfold. But it was just really, they were really thought-provoking.
It's
And there's this
shocking, I
specifically, and
think.
shocking, oh my gosh. So I was like screaming at the TV in both episodes or both seasons. And the characters are so also just really interesting and fun. And especially in season two, I loved the women in it so much. They're just so even the women that I thought I wasn't going to like, it was just interesting seeing how their stories unfolded, contrasted with the men in the show. But yeah, I really enjoyed that one. So those are my two favorites. But yeah, I was really bad this year about watching TV. And I can't even justify it by saying I don't watch a lot of TV or films because I do XYZ. And it's like I don't even know what I did with my life. I just didn't
TikTok.
watch. Yeah, that's honestly what I did with my life. It's a
Maddie
problem.
Healy videos on TikTok.
So many, literally hours of my life devoted to that.
No, but both
I
those
guess
shows are
that's a
great. I love
good.
both those shows too. Segue? Are we going to segue to our love for Maddie Healy?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that is a good segue
Music.
about music and our just music favorites. And I feel like for me this year was like a big music year. Because I've never been much of I don't know about you. I've never really prioritized concert experiences as much. I feel like most of the concerts, especially the expensive big concerts that I've gone to in the past, have been ones that I've kind of just randomly got invited to, or it's been BTS, and obviously I'll do anything for BTS. So,
BTS, yeah.
but other than that, yeah, I feel like this year was a big year for just kind of rediscovering love for music and the impact of music and especially live music. And the big sort of moment for me was definitely basically going completely over budget with my Harry Styles ticket and being so close and having the best concert experience of my life. And that moment I was like, oh yeah, I need to prioritize this more. I need to stop worrying, or not worrying. I need to stop if I can go to a show and I can make it work and I can budget it, just letting myself have that experience and stop fe feeling like it's a waste of money to have the full experience that I want, if that makes sense. So
Yeah,
then
100%.
yeah. And so I'm heading to London in a few weeks and I'm so excited because probably, at least for me, my favorite album of the year is definitely Being Funny in a Foreign Language by the 1975.
Same, same.
And I'm so excited because the one thing that the other day I was really sad because I couldn't go to the Madison Square Garden show that they had. And so I was like, I wonder if they're, because they hadn't toured Europe or London yet with the album. So I was like, I wonder if they're going to be there. And they're playing a show on the very last full day that I'm in London. And so I was like, absolutely, I'll be booking this. And so I got a front row ticket. I did not do pit because I'm not strong enough to try and be in a
Fair.
1975 pit. But I'm like front row side stage and I'm so freaking excited. I'm like over the moon. I'm pretty sure I'm
It's
gonna
gonna be
just like
amazing.
bawl because you've seen the show.
Yeah. I went to the 1975 show in Austin and just drank like a goblet of wine and then just had the time of my life. It was so much fun. The album is fantastic. I would agree. This was probably my favorite album of the year and the one that I just can't shake. And I think too, I think a lot of the music this year, which has been so fun, is that it almost feels nostalgic. There's been a lot of releases that call back to a lot of my musical passions from my youth when I really did prioritize, because I agree, I feel like I've deprioritized music a bit, except BTS. but there was a time in my life where like music was so central to my life, my Tumblr, everything about it was so involved. And I think with the release of this 1975 album really brought me back to a place. Harry Styles obviously having a moment. And I think concert culture, maybe on TikTok, also has kind of like reminded not just us, but maybe others about how fun concert experiences are and how they can be really unique and fun. And I even think like the Taylor Swift Midnights moment was like such a fun, it's just fun to experience music with yourself, but also culturally see things kind of spread and watch other people fall in love with it too.
And I feel like these shows are the ones that like I'm so excited to see Taylor's tour with you.
I know.
So exciting.
Oh my God. We could have a whole podcast episode on getting those tickets. It was insane.
It's so funny now though, watching, because people are posting their reactions to all the people who like got the opportunity to like buy tickets in this like new round. And they've been posting their like reaction to like what section or seat they got, and it's almost like the Taylor Swift, like the Swiftie version of like your college acceptance letter videos. It's like watching people lose their minds over like getting front row pit, and it's so wonderful. I love it.
I know. I love it too.
But yeah, I agree. I love that like community element, and I feel like these are the shows that like in 30 years we're gonna like be able to be like, oh yeah, I was at that show, you know, like we're like you know, these like really epic music history moments and like yes. I went to that tour, and I feel like these are the shows that are going to be those.
I know, I'm really excited, and we were lucky enough to get really great tickets for the Taylor Swift concert. I don't even know how it happened. I felt like I hacked into the mainframe somehow. But it's going to be such a great memory. Maybe this will be on our favorite memory. Hopefully it'll be on our favorite memories of 2023. That and Korea and all the other things we're doing.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I agree. This year felt like a really special year for music for me too. Kind of.
Yeah.
And our music favorites are very in line with each other. So I felt like it was good. We could just kind of talk about the same things in this category.
Yes. I mean, like being funny, like to bring it back to that, I just feel like that album, and I love every album from the 1975, and I love how like introspective they are and how they're not afraid to like take risks. And I really think it's like part of this like lack of fear around like being super introspective, being super earnest, being philosophical. I just really love it. And it makes me so excited for like music in general and what they create.
I can't wait for you to go. In
I'm
January.
So excited.
You'll have
I'll
to
be texting
text me
you.
A play-by-play.
Yes, I'll probably just be sobbing. It'll be a great time.
It was so fun.
It got me back on Tumblr. I will say that. I've been back on Tumblr. I think like all the like insanity with like just Twitter being a nightmare. Plus the like my regression to 2013 me. I was like, well, I gotta get back on Tumblr. I gotta be reblogging some Lana Del Rey quotes.
You and Halsey are
truly,
both back on
God.
Tumblr.
As soon as I saw Halsey was back on, I was like, yeah, this is happening. It's time.
With that being said, I think that caps off all of our favorites. What a great year of media and memories to reflect on. I'm so happy I was able to have so many special moments with you, Monica.
Same.
And thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Again, subscribe if you haven't already or leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. And we will see y'all soon with another episode soon. Anyway, hope you stay cozy, everyone.
Bye.
Is that how you end a podcast?
I guess so. Let's just
keep
that.
I was like, okay, bye. Is that how you end?